Welcome to Raising Our Voices. Today we are in the studio talking about choices and rights for the International Day of People with a Disability. We have Lisa Brunktis from Brain Injury Matters with us in the studio, Viviana Torres from Action on Disability Within Ethnic Communities, and myself, Bronwyn Trickett from ARMIDA, which stands for Action for More Independence and Dignity in Accommodation. So today we're talking about people from a culturally and linguistically diverse background regarding choices and rights and disability. Just as a introduction, can I ask both Lisa and Viviana, Lisa, to begin with, your work at Brain Injury Matters, can you explain a little bit about the kind of work that you do for our listeners?
Well, I'm part of BIM, Brain Injury Matters, which is a self-advocacy group run for and by people with a brain injury. So, and we're trying to raise awareness about brain injury because it's an invisible disability and people just have no idea. And just mentioning that you've got a brain injury just sets people off on all sorts of thinking. So you could be stupid, you could be paraplegic, you could be anything except an actual person with a brain injury.
So you're talking about people's views on what it means to have a acquired brain injury.
Yes, I am. And okay. It's just so wrong.
Okay, so raising community awareness about that.
Mm.
Viviana?
Well, ADEC, easier to say, we empower people to living with disabilities to get more involved in the community, actually in the Victorian community, because we are located in Victoria. So we attend all the kinds of disabilities. So we provide advocacy services, culturally backgrounds services, also NDIS, that now is a huge program in Australia. So we try to get the people involved and try to join people to the Australian community. This is basically for ADEC.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, actually it is. It's a good job working with people from other backgrounds because most of them doesn't speak English. So we try to provide interpreter to them and create group activities to try to really involve the people in the Australian community and the Australian culture.
Okay.
It must never get boring.
No, it's so fun. I love my job. Actually, I love my job. I have to be keep in touch with everyone. And actually, in the community's jobs, the people is very friendly. Mm. You know, all the time they're able to do everything, to join with everyone, to really enjoy the environment, to meet other people, because sometimes they are far away. For example, we have office in Werribee, also Dandenong. So they is far away, so they don't know no one from the same background.
So you're talking about people that you work alongside in your organization?
Yeah, we work around Melbourne. So when they meet in other activities and they meet people from, I don't know, India or Asia or whatever, they feel really happy. We are focused not only in the people with disability, but also with the careers, the carers, and the families. Because, you know, if you are the carer of your mom, so sometimes we can create a space and you can do another thing different, just the way you care about
that's your... really important.
Yes, so try to really get involved everyone.
Okay. That's excellent.
It is.
Lisa, I was wanting to talk to you about the cultural differences. You were explaining to me briefly that you are from a Greek background.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And the cultural differences between the Greek culture and the Australian culture, even though Australia has such a different, diverse mix of cultures. I was wondering about discrimination. We did talk about that in another episode when we were discussing the UN a few months back. What would you say about cultural differences to do with your Greek background being in Australia?
Well, there are differences, even though nobody would really like to admit them.
Mm.
And from my experience, there are also differences in Greece. Like there are cultural differences there.
Mm.
Even with the Greeks in Australia, they aren't totally accepted in Greece.
Okay.
So it's really weird, and I can't really explain.
Fair enough. And Viviana, you're from a Colombian background.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a Latin person.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. are there a lot of cultural differences between the Colombian culture and Australian culture?
Ooh, probably. Yes. I think we have a lot of difference. But now you can find a lot of Colombians here, not just in Melbourne, around Australia. But also, we notice Australian people really like the Latin culture. They enjoy dance, they enjoy the food, they enjoy all these kind of things that probably is our culture.
Yes.
All the happiness.
Yes.
We can say something like that. But actually, I think we can really adapt in the Australian culture.
Okay.
Because they respect all the cultures and they receive in a good way.
Australia in general?
Yeah. I think Australia in general. When I live in Melbourne, just in Melbourne, I travel in a few places now, and I think everyone is respectful with your beliefs, with your culture, with your language.
That's a good thing. And Lisa, the Greek background has so much history. Initiators like Aristotle, Plato, philosophers, there's so much about the Greek background that has shaped society today.
Yes, there is.
Okay. So would you say progressive, forward-thinking societies, would you say that's that sort of Greek influence has made Australia like that today in some ways?
Part of Greek history. Because it's really kind of broken. We have the history of the 5th century BC, which is full of the sophists, the wise people, philosophers. But, and this is where the but comes in, they were all executed because it was feared that they would, challenge society too much. Basically, so I don't know where that takes us.
Fair enough. What's the comparison of living in Australia to living in Greece? Accessibility, discrimination, those sorts of things. Having a disability and what is life like in general?
Well, I can only talk about Melbourne. I can talk about Sydney as well. But Melbourne, more Melbourne, it's fine here. There's discrimination everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Sometimes not intentional discrimination. More of a mindset rather than direct discrimination.
Yes. But this intentional stuff is, really kind of crappy.
Fair enough.
Because it's like nobody intends to do any harm to anybody, but they do it anyway.
It's there, it exists.
Yes. So I don't know how to excuse that, if you want to excuse it.
Viviana, I believe that, I don't think that you have a disability yourself. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. But you would probably have an idea of Colombian society and Colombians' attitude toward disability compared to Australia.
Actually, you can compare, and it's very clear the difference.
Okay.
In terms of Australia have everything developed to include people with disability. Light in the streets, the floors, the noises, access to all the buildings, everything. The train stations. If you go to Colombia, it's sad sadly to say that, but in Colombia we don't have the same the same access. Of course, I don't have any disability, but I can see how people in wheelchair can go in to a few places, so everyone try to help the people with the chair, with everything, just
attitudes
to try to go in.
Bystanders.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, we can compare Australia with Colombia for many reasons. Political reasons, economical reasons, a lot of things. But I think in Colombia, there is many foundations, also many institutions to try to help people with disabilities. The thing is, in Colombia, we have a lot of poor people, so they can access. They don't have the access to basic things like health or houses or food or everything. So it's very hard for us. But we try to do as much we can. Of course, the government.
Okay.
This is other topic. But but actually, if we go in other ways. But actually, if you compare with Australia, I think in Australia all the time, the government and probably people start to improve all disability
progressive
services. For the most clear example is NDIS. So NDIS try to cover many things, so try to, you know, try to give the attention to everyone. So it's a good service, but actually, of course, need a lot of improvements. But
sure, like many systems, bureaucratic systems.
Yeah, and actually, the first year it will be
every year
it will to improve.
Yes,
everything.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's doing in this way.
Okay. And we're talking about choices as well. Many people who have a disability don't have a choice. Well, I can't think of anybody, in fact, that has chosen to acquire a disability if they haven't had it from birth.
Even then you wouldn't decide.
No, that's it. Not a direct decision, oh, I'm going to have a disability now. You know, it's not something that you choose in life like that. And we're talking about rights as well, and the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disability is the UN legislation, well, the charter. I wouldn't call it legislation. It's not definitely not law in Australia. We've covered that topic in another episode as well. And Lisa, I remember that you were mentioning something about the CRPD. Did you want to talk about that at all?
I don't know what to say, except that it's a legal document. Well, it's a legal convention. So if countries ratify it, then they're bound to it legally. Now, how they actually enact it is another thing altogether.
Yes. And that's part of my role as an advocate to try to, when there are clear cases that the convention is not being followed, when someone's rights are not being upheld, try to get that corrected. You would see that as well in your work. So would you, Viviana. And there's also the Universal Declaration, not just the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
No, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which basically covers all human beings as long as you were born with 46 chromosomes. I suppose that makes you human or human enough.
Okay. Yes, agreed. So a question to both of you. Would you think that knowing what your rights are makes a difference, humans in general and also people with disabilities here in Australia compared to other countries?
I think human rights is a general rule to everyone. So everyone, you know, if you are human, you have rights. And we have the same rights everywhere. Doesn't matter if you have disabilities or not. We are humans. Also, we need to go inside the cultures. So, you know, some cultures are probably the Occidental cultures are more liberal, and you know. But we have the same rights, and for disability, actually, I think for disability people, we are more kind. We are more able to respect these rights rather than
than your average person?
Than other humans.
Okay, someone who doesn't have a disability.
Yeah. But I think...
than other humans.
Okay, fair
comment.
Yeah, no, but the thing is... The point is, human rights is everywhere. Mm. And, for example, from ADEC, we pushing people from other backgrounds through different activities, group activities for Vietnamese groups, Arabic groups, Turkish groups, Japanese groups, to try to really empower these people to know exactly why they deserve, what is your right, and you need to for example
empowering people,
sexual violence, elder abuse, these kind of things. We try to make these workshops with these societies, and they really in their language, because we have a lot of people who speak other languages, and we try to run these workshops to make the people knows really what they really need.
Yes.
And then no one can do anything with you, and you are vulnerable sometimes, but you can't defend by yourself. So this
sounds good.
Yeah, actually, this is the point.
Okay. You're listening to 3CR, Raising Our Voices, 8:55 a.m., and I'm in the studio with Lisa Brumptus from Brain Injury Matters and Viviana Torres from ADEC. Action on Disability Within Ethnic Communities. And I'm Bronwyn Trickett from ALMIDA, Action for More Independence and Dignity in Accommodation. So today we're talking about people from a culturally and linguistically diverse background, and more specifically, choices and rights for our show for the International Day of Person with Disability. So I've got some more questions for Lisa and Viviana. Do people in coal communities in Australia have the same choices and rights as other communities in Australia, would you say?
I think yes, because, of course, everyone, we are covered to all the Australian law and everything. Of course, a lot of the, or probably a few difference is depends if you are a citizen or not.
Mm.
You can apply for different services if you are a citizen or not. But makes sense totally. But I'm pretty sure it's the same rights to everyone.
Yeah, okay. Australia is a pretty inclusive society.
It is.
I would say.
Yeah. Do people from coal background, in your experience, need assistance accessing services such as Centrelink, the health system, perhaps legal assistance, settlement programs?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because
it would be a matter of language, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the first one is the language, and also because this language is technical language. So a few terms, a few things in other languages or in other systems doesn't exist. So you don't, if you don't have the proper English, you can understand exactly what are you doing, what do you have to do to access to something. So if you have an interpreter to explain in other, in your language, in your words, exactly what is happening, it will be better. It's inclusion, actually.
Okay. Are people from a cold background respected in Australia, in your opinion?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. For that reason, we have in Australia access to everything or different programs. You can apply to grants. Actually, in ADEC, we develop all the information and flyers in different languages, or we try to make the image more multicultural, or we try to engage people from other backgrounds to doing Australian things. So, yeah, definitely we respect, and in general, in my opinion, they respect all the disability people.
Okay. We do know that there are problems of racism globally and discrimination and that sort of thing. It's good to have your impression coming from the work that you're doing. And also, Lisa, you would see this in Brain Injury Matters, that people are getting respect. Is what I'm hearing you say. That's a very good thing. Are people with disability from a cold background able to express their sexuality?
I totally agree. Because, and also because of my experience. Of course, I come in from other, actually from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
But I can see here the a few cultures, they are very close. But when they come to Australia, of course, Australia is a free country. So they feel free to be really who they okay. are, you know, so they can express everything that they want. And they no one going to judge, no one going to punish, no one going to do anything because it's now it's something natural, okay. probably.
Especially with the marriage equality law having changed recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Do views change within cold communities regarding intergenerational views on disability? So from one generation to the next and then to the next generation, do you think views within that culture change regarding disability?
I think yes, because, all the time you can improve the services. Is everything better to make the life easier? Just not for the person who have the disability, but also for their families, for the carer. Mm. So all the time is more foundations focusing in different kind of disabilities, or maybe is focusing improve the life because of the machines, because of the programs, because of the whatever. For example, yes. in ATEC, we have a special program. The name is Artability. So at the end of the year, we create an exhibition. So all the people with disability and the carer can participate with any kind of art. So we run an exhibition. We try to involve people and a lot of sponsors. People, a lot of people coming to buy the paintings or to support us in different kinds. So we open the space really to improve. And it's not only for kids. It's to everyone. So their generation is there.
I see.
Mix it.
Okay. Can I respond to that?
Absolutely.
Not from a refugee or a migrant point of view, but just generally, you would hope there would be intergenerational improvement regarding disability, regarding anything, because we're supposed to progress.
Yes.
Theoretically, anyway.
It is. No, actually, it is.
Absolutely.
So you would hope.
Yes.
Unless what... If not, what are we doing?
Sure.
Regressing.
Sure.
As humanity really regressing. Sorry, it goes back to my view on society then.
That's okay. Please, I'm asking your opinion. Are there appropriate uses of terminology that avoid stereotyping in Australia for cold background disability people, would you say? Terminology in different languages, in plain English?
I think the language is inclusive. Actually, disability in the first time is exclusion. You don't have any disability. Probably you have one special ability. You know, you have because when I'm pretty sure when you lose something, other of your sense start to be stronger than others. So
that's true.
If you can see, you can hear better. If you can, I don't know. Well, I don't know about disability.
It's true.
But I'm pretty sure if you can, for example, if you can walk, maybe you paint because you can do anything more than, so you put all your effort in other thing.
Mm.
So probably you develop because it's developed other talent.
My view is that you don't actually make the effort for something to be better, but your brain takes care of it quite naturally.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is disability is the word, of course. You need you need the definition. You need to know exactly
what it is. Yeah, we need to say something. Call disability something.
Yeah, but for in other backgrounds, I think all the languages have the translation for disability word. For example, discapacidad in Spanish.
What is it in Spanish?
Discapacidad.
God, that sounds cool.
So, for example, so of course we need to really have a terminology to define things, but it's more in the theoretical way. So in the practice, should be maybe
diplomatic.
Yeah, it should be diplomatic, yeah. Exactly like that.
All right. You're listening to 3CR, Raising Our Voices. Today we've been talking with Lisa Brumtis and Viviana Torres about choices and rights in the called community. And stay tuned for our next program on Wednesday, the 12th of December, for Raising Our Voices. Thank you for listening to this episode of International Day of People with a Disability. Thank you to our guests, Lisa Brumptis from Brain Injury Matters and Viviana Torres from ADEC. And stay tuned. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.